Shalom. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I'm taking a moment to share some important information about Congregation Shema Yisrael. We're following the leading of the Holy Spirit to purchase a new facility for our congregation in the heart of the Jewish community of Rochester, New York. We've experienced several miraculous confirmations that this purchase is God's plan to make us more effective in our outreach to the Jewish community here. Our previous facility has been sold, and we are meeting in rented quarters until we close on the new facility at the end of 2020. Through the generous donations of our regular attenders, we've raised a significant part of the funds that will be needed to close, but we also need your help. If you've been blessed by our podcast, please pray for us and ask the Lord, what do you want to do through me to accomplish your will for Congregation Shema Yisrael? If you pray this prayer and do what God leads you to do in faith, we will succeed in purchasing this facility and become much more effective in reaching the Jewish people of Rochester with the life-saving good news of Messiah Yeshua. To participate, please visit shematime.org. That's shematime.org, where you can learn more about this amazing move of God and support us by clicking the donate button. Thank you, and may the Lord richly bless you as you listen to this podcast.
Today's very interesting because I'm actually using a tablet? Right? Doesn't the Word of God say that, right? Right? The tablet of our heart, right? So this is today, the Lord had pressed upon my heart to talk about a topic. It's called Guard Your Heart. And Pastor Tom just mentioned something just earlier about this unity, right? And that brings home that we need to guard our heart, right? We have to make sure that our heart is functioning properly so that there isn't any disunity, disharmony, right? This unity, that we are together in one mind, one body, right? One spirit in Yeshua. And I'll be honest with you. I struggled. But I'll be honest with you too. I give an experience, something that really, as I was going through this, the Lord was ministering to me, even during my waking hours and my going to sleep. Things that I'll be sharing with you here, but also things personally to me. Things that I have to correct and I have to take care of. So even this message, guard your heart, it's not a message just for the young and the children. It's for everyone. It's ageless. Every one of us have to guard our heart. So I chose scripture from the book of Proverbs. And just to give you a brief description of what a proverb is based on literarydevices.net, a proverb is a brief, simple, and popular saying or phrase that gives advice, a commonplace truth based on practical experience and common sense. King Solomon was one of the wisest men and richest king to ever live on the face of earth. You could actually read his detailed stories in the book of 1 Kings chapter 1 through 11 tells us a story about King Solomon. However, one thing you have to make sure is that, or be aware, is that his wisdom and his riches did not have human origin. It was divine. It was given to him by Adonai. Therefore, nobody can boast. So I want us to read, if you have your Bibles, I'm sorry, I don't have any, I'm like Pastor Tom and Rabbi Jim, who they're great on doing PowerPoint. If you turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5 to 14, just want to read a little bit about King Solomon to get a sense of where did it all originate, his wisdom and his riches. So it says the following. At Gibeon, Adonai appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God asked, ask for what should I give you? Nice fitting, right? I remember when I was a little kid, I did ask God for something. It wasn't wisdom. You know what it was? Make me like Spider-Man. Not a very good, never happened, by the way. I don't think that was a very good request. But Solomon said, you have shown my father, your servant David, great loving kindness as he walked before you in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart towards you. Now you have to understand, this is a young man, about 15 years of age, who through observation saw how his father devoted himself to Adonai. He saw firsthand how his father lived. And not only how his father lived, but how God treated him. With what? Loving kindness. Great loving kindness. Not just, it's great loving kindness. What comes to mind, I'm reading Psalms 119. And this comes to mind about King David. I'm not sure if he wrote this. But certainly, a lot of this is actually in the book of Proverbs. Now, I want to read it, because I think it was really blameless, who seek him with a whole heart, who also do no injustices, but walk in his ways. You have commanded that your precepts be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways were steadfast to observe your decree. Then I would not be ashamed when I consider all your mitzvot. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous judgments. I will observe your statutes. Never abandon me utterly. How can a young man keep his way pure? That was one of my favorite verses, by the way. By guarding it according to your word. Again, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Let me not stray from your mitzvot. I have treasured your words in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, Adonai. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I rehearse all the rulings of your mouth. Very key, right? With my lips, I rehearsed. This wasn't a one-time thing, a repetitive repetition. All the rulings of your mouth. I rejoice in the way of your testimonies above all wealth. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I will delight in your decrees. I will never forget your words. Indeed, you have kept this great loving kindness for him by giving him a son. So now he's going on to say, not only did you bless my father loving kindness, but you continued even after his death to show great loving kindness. And now he's talking about himself. Indeed, you have kept this great loving kindness for him by giving him a son to sit on his throne as it is today. So now, Adonai, my God, you have made your servant king in my father David's place. I am just but a youth. I don't know how to go and come. Your servant is amid your people whom you have chosen, a great people too numerous to be numbered or counted. So give your servant a mind of understanding to judge between good and evil. Young king, 15 years of age. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Now it was pleasing in Adonai, in the eyes of Adonai, that Solomon requested this thing. So God said to him, because you have asked this, I have not asked for long life, riches, and asked for the life of your enemies, but asked for understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. I have given you a wise and discerning mind so that you have none like you before you, nor shall anyone like you rise or after you. Moreover, I have given you what you did not request, both riches and honor, so that no one among the kings will be like you all your days. Now, this is the key thing. Furthermore, if you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. And shortly after that, we can see how the young man, King David, that gift that God gave him, the gift of discernment, was put to the test. We all know the story about the two prophets, the two women, right, with the child, and how the Lord gave him wisdom to be able to resolve that situation, that case. 1 Kings says, in chapter 5, says that he has composed 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,500. He talked about all different types of subjects, and so began the journey of King Solomon living out his godly life, right, with the gift that God has given him for discernment, wisdom in every area of his life. In the book of Proverbs, King Solomon shares many of his life experiences, observations, and gives examples of the benefits of godly wisdom and common sense as applied to day-to-day choices and decisions made in every area of our life. And also, he also included the negative outcomes of people that choose, again, choose, to listen or accept godly advice. The book of Proverbs has a wide range of topics dealing with peer pressure, choosing good company, sexual purity, marriage, employment, self-control, humility, gentleness, patience, poverty, laziness, faithfulness, friendship, business transactions, short temper. That was me when I was a kid. How we treat others, peace, harmony, false witness, lying, trustworthy, and many, many more. It also includes foolish behaviors, its consequences, and its final destiny, which is what? Death. So just real quickly, chapter 1 basically tells you about who is the main composer, writer, which is King Solomon. It tells you about the purpose to acquire wisdom, discipline, understanding, insight, to receive instruction, right behavior, righteousness, justice, and fairness, to discern, to give discernment, knowledge, discretion, to understand a proverb and a puzzle, and the saying of the wise and the riddles. His main audience was the naive, the youth. Isn't it beautiful that God includes the youth in all this too as well? Right? Amen. He includes also the wise. So in other words, you know, don't think we all know, right? Know it all, because we don't. But it includes the wise because it says here that you will become what? Wiser. Right? How many of us want to become wiser? I know I do. I'm 58 and I still got more to learn. But I noticed that the audience fool is not in here. But much is said about their lack of judgment, common sense, and acceptance of correction. Then he goes to the right to the main point. He says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear or the reverence or awe of Adonai is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and knowledge. So he already tells you what the prerequisite is. It's like I remember when I was going to college, and before you could take, let's say, calculus, which, by the way, I did, I realized that I was totally wrong. I didn't realize the connection between not taking trigonometry and taking calculus. Well, I struggled a whole lot because my lack of knowledge was there. I didn't have a good understanding, a good foundation to understand the concepts in calculus. I failed almost every exam. I did everything, that pop quiz, all that stuff, and the other, my professor. I can't tell you how many times I went to my professor. But then one day it clicked. It just, boom, right, just like that. That happens when you come to realize who God is, who Adonai is. All of a sudden, it just clicks. And you know that you are in front of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all things. He is compassionate, merciful, loving, right? Praise the Lord. And you come to realize that regardless of what we have done in the past that he forgives. Yes, there is justice, but there is also mercy and forgiveness if we repent. So that's very important. Then he says, in Proverbs chapter 14, 7, which is kind of interesting, he says, walk away from a fool, for you will find no knowledge on his lips. So he's already telling you, walk away. Don't even bother what? Standing, listening to this person, because his advice is not going to be pleasant or may lead you astray. Gossip, right? Could lead you astray. Listening to a person give you a story that may have additional words that was never said from the beginning. But that was, you know, a telephone conversation. You say one thing, the next person say the other, it keeps going on until finally what? What's being said is misconstrued. No. So, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, Hear, my son, your father's instructions, and forsake not your mother's teachings, for they are a garland of grace for your head and a chain to adorn you. Now, this is very interesting because at first it didn't dawn on me as I was thinking about this here, the importance that parents played in instructing their children. Which, by the way, back in the day, as Rabbi mentioned, I think several weeks ago, back in the days, they didn't have a Bible. There was no Bible. Right? Like we know today, so that we can carry all around us. We can tell our children, hey, pick up the Bible and read, you know, Deuteronomy chapter 1. Can't say that back then, because he had a scroll. That's all they had. So to me, in order for a parent to instruct their children in the ways of the Lord, how did that happen? How is it even possible that they can, right, communicate the words of Adonai to their children? Very simple. God had a plan. He always does. God required a public reading of the scriptures. And it was during that time that the parents made sure that they would not only listen, but that they would memorize. Through repetition, they were able to memorize the scriptures, and in turn, they were able to go back home, because you know how children are, right? They were probably there with you all along. But that doesn't mean they were listening, right? But you had to listen. Because when you went home, you would speak to your children and say, do you remember Moses, what he said? I mean, I can't say that today, but I mean, you could. But so it is important. So memorization, very key, right? Repetition, very key. So children, don't get aspirated when your parents keep repeating the same things about the Lord. Because it's through repetition that you learn those instructions. And parents, don't get exhausted in repeating the words of God. Don't let your children say, I've heard it before. You keep saying it. Because that is important when it comes to transferring information to that child. Because at some point, that child is going to come across in a situation where that word that you just spoke is going to protect them, is going to prevent harm. So it's very vital to have that determination. So parents play a parent role. So if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, we read it this morning. These words I commanded you today, right, are to be on your heart. You have to teach them diligently to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Bind them as a sign on your hand. They are to be as frontlets between your eyes, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Very interesting, though. If you look in the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verses 20 and 22. There's a correlation. Look what it says. My son, keep your father's mitzvah and forsake not your mother's teachings. Bind them on your heart continually. Tie them around your neck. This is because when you walk, they will guide you. When you lie down, okay, they will watch over you. And when you walk, when you wake up, they will speak to you. You see how it works? Imparting, right, God's word, and now it's being, what, played out, worked out in the child's life as they listen and obey that word. So parents never give up. As a matter of fact, very interesting, when you read the book of Proverbs, the phrase or something similar, my son, keep, my son, listen, right? I counted it at least probably 10 times. It's a repetition. In other words, listen, this is so important. I don't want you to forget what I am telling you, what the word of God is telling you. There is that sense of urgency, that sense of importance. And so therefore, in verse 20, verse chapter 4, verse 20 to 22, again he says, pay, my son, pay attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to the whole body. It's not a piecemeal thing. The word of God affects you completely, totally, inside out. That brings me to my verse, which is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. All that was said just to come here because it's important to understand how the word of God is, and only that, how it fits with this particular scripture verse. It says, guard your heart diligently, for now it flows from, for from it flow the springs of life. Other translations may be worded differently. So I looked at the scripture verse, and I said, well, let me kind of break it down and see if I can get some type of message regarding the different types of words and what that means, and maybe come up with something at the end that may make sense. It does make sense, but maybe get some additional information. So the key words are guard, all diligence, heart, springs, or wellsprings, which, by the way, does not exist in the original Hebrew. It was added, okay, as a way of clarity, but it does make sense. The idea is the source from which we draw. That's why they included the well springs and wellsprings. Issues in life. So I looked at each of these words in the Hebrew. That was challenging. But it was exciting, though. So I looked at each word to see what I can get, you know, what I can extrapolate, what I can get out of it. So the word guard in Hebrew, it's netzor. And I looked both in the concordance as well as the Strong Concordance, as well as the Brown Driver Briggs Hebrew definition. So I looked at different sources just to compare. So netzor basically means to guard, to keep, to watch. It is not a suggestion, by the way. God is not giving you a recommendation. All right? It's like a doctor, right? He says, this is not a recommendation. This is a prescription that you must take. This is a command, a teaching that God is saying. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. It implies that there is something of utmost value that needs to be guarded, not to lose sight of or to let go. Then I looked at the next word, which was diligence, or all diligence, mikal mishmar. Basically, place of confinement, jail, prison, guard, watch, observance. I had to think about this one a little bit because in my mind, I kept thinking, well, when I think about all diligence, I think about more persistence, carefulness, constant effort, right? With seriousness, zeal, commitment. But then I thought to myself, well, what if the word guard was inserted into that verse? Guard, guard. In Hebraic thought, when you see two words repeated, what does that mean? Listen, right? Listen, I got something important to say. You got to stop what you're doing and listen to what I'm telling you. So, the next word that I looked at was, oh, actually, not really. Because when I looked at this, I looked up, I went to Hebrew4Christians.com. You ever familiar with that site? The word mishmar, this is very interesting, because the word mishmar refers to the act of guarding closely, just like an officer or warden might keep watch over a prisoner. The phrase translated with all diligence, mikol mishmar, literally means more than anything else that might be guarded, and is used here to intensify the command to guard. Plainly put, this verse commands us to watch our heart more than anything else. So again, the sense of urgency to guard our heart. Then I looked at the next word, which is your heart. Lebecha. It can be used figuratively for feelings, the will, the intellect, as well as for the center of everything. Brown Driver Briggs' Hebrew definition says, the influence of inner man, mind, will, heart. Oftentimes, the word mind and heart are used interchangeably. In this verse, though, it is not mind. It is the word heart. And I believe there is a purpose for that, why Adonai decided to put in there the word heart and not mind. There's a good reason. Now, when you look at the scripture verse, the word heart is singular, not plural. So when I look at this, singularity speaks of oneness, of whole being. Not just your mind, but all of who you are. Singularity also refers to an individual choice. I remember growing up in Spanish Assemblies of God Church, and a lot of the preachers, especially addressing the young people, they would say, hey, don't think for one moment that if Jesus was to come today, that you can grab onto your parents' legs and be lifted up into the air. No, it ain't going to happen. It is an individual choice. You have to be ready. You know, Amy can attest to that one. We heard it time in and time again. Almost every preaching had that in there. So it is an individual choice. You and you alone have to decide to follow Yeshua, to follow the word of God. Singularity also means that you and I are responsible and accountable for what we let in and out of our heart. Can't say, oh, like that famous phrase, the devil made me. No, I'm sorry. No, you are responsible. You are accountable. You're not on your own, by the way, just to let you know, right? You got the power, right, of the Ruach. But it's true today. Singularity also means your heart is not divided. Yeshua says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for he either hate the one and love the other, or he will stick by one and look down on the other. You cannot serve God and money. The key word is serve. Many people misunderstand the scriptures. You got to read the verses before and the verses after to get a better understanding of what Yeshua is saying. But the key word is to serve. All right. Whoever is the Lord of your inner man, your heart will follow, and it will manifest itself. What's in will come out, right? Then I look at the Hebrew word for issues, which is totsot, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. An outgoing extremity, perhaps source, escape. I chose the word source in this particular case. I look for the word life, chayim, and it says to live, whether literally or figuratively, to revive, keep alive, give life, nourish up. I decided to choose the word nourish up. And then I reconstructed the Proverbs. Rabbi, don't go after me on this one here. So, and I said, well, what if I put this together in a different way to get a better understanding of what it says? This is what I came up with, what the Lord put in by my heart. Guard with all urgency what is extremely valuable in your heart with your whole being, for it is your source of nourishment. I thought about that, and the Lord said, well, think about the parable of the seed. Oftentimes, when we think about the parable of the seed, we think about the receiver, the heart that is open to receive God's message. And if you receive God's message, then you will bear fruit. But why did that person bear fruit? Because of the seed. If you didn't have the seed, you wouldn't bear fruit. So the seed being what? The word of God. You can't flourish. You can't bear fruit, or we can't bear fruit without the word of God being in us. We can't. We can try, but we can't. It is God's word, which we received, that nourishes us and produces what? Fruit. By the way, I didn't go this, but if you look at the book of Proverbs and the fruit of the spirits, they're all there. They're all there. Every single one of them. Isn't that amazing? When the word of God is in our heart. And Yeshua, warning of false prophets, Matthew 7, verse 15 to 18. Watch out for false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit. Grapes aren't gathered from the bushes, from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree produces good fruit, but the rotten tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a rotten tree produce good fruit. There is no division, folks. It's either we're in or we're out. We can't have a divided heart. It doesn't work that way. Yeshua says in Matthew 17, talking about referring to the washing of the hands, but I'm going to skip all of the introduction on that part. But this is what he tells his disciples. Don't you grasp whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and then is ejected into the sewer? But the things that proceed out of the mouth comes forth from the what? From the heart. And from those things make the man unholy. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual morality, theft, false witness, and slander. Psalms 1, beautifully put together, tells you what can happen if we were to follow our own imaginations, our own, I guess, understanding, our own ways of thinking, right? It talks about walk, right? Then stand and then sit. There's a progression. If we don't allow the word of God to continually be in our heart, we need to be mindful, we need to be careful that we can sooner or later be sitting down with a scoffer. And what happens? Now we learn their ways. That's not what God wants. But listen to what it says over here. It says, but his delight is in the Torah, in the instructions of Adonai, and on his Torah instructions he meditates day and night. He will be a tree, what? Planted over streams of water, producing its fruit during its seasons. Its leaf never drops, but all he does succeeds. Where is that individual getting his or her nourishment from? The Word. Where your heart gets its nourishment matters. Let it be the Word of God. Then you will be able to acquire wisdom, discipline, understanding, insight, instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, fairness, discernment, and knowledge. You know, I love the Spanish language, but the Hebrew language is unlike any other language. To me, it points to the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob, the God of Israel, our God. Where else would you find an alphabet whose letters have meaning and a numerical value? Right? Adonai had a reason for it. So let me share this with you. Jeff Benner, AncientHebrews.org, in defining the word lev. Remember I told you the word heart was important? And the reason why Adonai made sure that that word is in that scripture verse to guard your heart. And that, it could be mind, but heart. So he says the following when it comes to the scripture verse, or the word. Oh, this has a magnet. All right. So the first, I don't know if you can see it, lamed, right? The word for heart is, the heart is lev, right? Lamed and betvet, right, together. Could be either one depending on the dagash. So the first letter, lamed, is a picture of a shepherd's staff and represents authority, as the shepherd has authority over the flock. The next letter, okay, the vet, is a picture of the floor plan of a nomadic tent and represents the idea of being inside as the family resides within the tent. Combined together means the authority within. Isn't that amazing? The authority within. Who is the authority within our heart? Is it the philosophy of man? Is it the world system? Just look around you. The chaos, right? The confusion, the disharmony, the hatred. Could be that, but not when it comes to the Word of God. If the Word of God is the authority within your heart and you guard it as you would guard treasure, it will produce good fruit. Amen? Do I have a couple more minutes? I'm done, but I want to share one last thought. Possible. Is that okay, Rabbi? Okay. Thank you. So again, guard your heart with all urgency, because what's in you is extremely valuable. It provides nourishment to all of who you are. Now I looked at the three reasons to guard the Torah, or the wisdom of God in our hearts. I think we gave a good illustration of the importance of how we benefit, you and I benefit, from the Word of God being in our heart, right? We bear much fruit. It helps us to make decisions in our life and things of that nature. But it's also for the benefit of the Messiah, of the body of Messiah. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Messiah dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with gratitude in your hearts to God." Which, by the way, I want to just emphasize, they didn't have a Bible either. So they had to memorize the Word of God as well. But look what happens when the Word of God is in you. You're able to be a blessing to someone else. So it benefits you, It benefits those around us. Now, how does it benefit Adonai? Well, 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 28. This is regarding King Solomon and his decision how to handle the case between the two women and the child. This is what it said. When all Israel heard of the verdict that King Solomon, that's my addition, had given, they were in awe of the king. For they saw the wisdom of God. What did they see? The wisdom of God. They didn't say anything. No, the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. It's evident from those around us when we live according to God's word, it brings glory to Adonai. I'll share one last scripture. 1 Kings chapter, chapter 10, verse 9, the Queen of Sheba. I'll skip all the things, but get to the bottom line of this. Blessed be Adonai, after she saw everything that King Solomon had, his kingdom. I mean, you name it, right? She could have said something totally different, but she didn't. She knew where his wisdom and where his riches came from. And she said, blessed be Adonai your God who delighted in you to set you on the throne of Israel. It is because of Adonai's everlasting love for Israel that he had made you king to do justice and righteousness. So, having the word of God in us and making sure that we guard it with everything that we have, not only does it bless us, produces fruit, bless those around us, and it gives glory to Adonai. Amen?